Well, if you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, go with me this evening to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. On Wednesday nights, we've been studying the person and work of the Holy Spirit. And I'd like to preach to you tonight on the title, The Gifts of the Spirit. The Gifts of the Spirit. In his popular seminars on leadership, management guru William A. Cohen often asks his audience if they can think of any organization which has all of these attributes. First of all, the workers work very hard physically, including weekends, with very little complaint. The workers receive no money and little material compensation for their services. The work is dangerous, and workers are frequently injured on the job. The work is strictly voluntary, but the workers usually have very high morale. The organization always has more workers than can be employed, and the workers are highly motivated to achieve the organization's goals. Well, when he asked his executives about that, they are frequently stumped, thinking there is no organization like that on earth. But Cohen says, I know of one such organization, a high school football team. Then he says, Christians know of another one, the local church. Folks, have you ever thought about just how many people it takes to keep a thriving, growing local church moving forward? Now, I'm not talking about a dead church tonight because it doesn't take any help at all to maintain a corpse. But in a church where people are being saved and discipled and mobilized for missions, plenty of people will be serving and plenty of people will always be needed. I'm convinced from the scripture that God wants every believer to be busy serving him through the ministry of the local church. I also believe that in every generation, God gives his church the manpower and money needed to reach the world if they will only commit to getting everybody involved. One of the things that gives me great joy as a pastor is knowing that we do have a serving church. And boy, that was in effect last week. Hundreds of people all over our campus working together. And you know, as I look out on Sunday morning and I'm sitting on the platform, I can scan the auditorium and I can connect almost every member of our church with the ministry they're involved in. I'm going to tell you, it's not like that everywhere. It really is remarkable. And many of you here tonight on a Wednesday night are involved in ministry, many of you involved in more than one. And let me just tell you, as your pastor, that gives me great joy to know you're serving the Lord. I also know that if you're serving the Lord for the right reason, it gives you great joy, because there's no joy like serving Jesus. But I can also tell you that when we serve the Lord, it gives God great joy. He wants us all to be involved. While many are involved, I will say this, not everyone is involved. Not every member of Worth Baptist Church has found their place. And maybe you find yourself this evening sitting on the sideline of ministry. You watched what happened at In Bethlehem Inner. You watch what God is doing in a ministry like RU or Embrace Grace or Master Clubs. And you think, well, just look at all these gifted people. Look at all those talented folks. A big church like this couldn't possibly use someone like little old me. You know, unfortunately, in my years as a pastor, I've heard that sentiment from many people. You know, one of the reasons that many people don't ever really know the joy of serving Jesus is that they just don't think they have much to contribute. I want to show you from the scriptures tonight that just isn't true. Every believer is commanded to serve the Lord. But every believer is gifted by the Holy Spirit to serve the Lord in a specific way. You are commanded to do it. You are gifted to do it. Let's read about the gifts of the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 tonight, verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaketh by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. And we'll stop there for now. Notice what it says. The manifestation, verse 7, of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. Now, folks, here's the truth of God's word. The moment you were saved, you were endowed with a gift from the Holy Spirit of God. And every single believer, with no exception, every single believer has at least one spiritual gift. Now, look back at verse 1. Here's the problem. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. The problem is that most believers are ignorant about their gift. In some cases, they lack so much spiritual confidence, they don't think they have a gift. In some cases, they think they may have one, they just don't know how to find it. In many cases, the believer knows what their gift is, but they're just not using it. You say, Pastor Gillett, if I had a spiritual gift, I'm sure I'd know it. Well, listen, folks, not according to the Bible. The Bible says it's possible to be ignorant about the gift. I don't know if you've ever driven on I-35 heading down towards Burleson, but there is a big warehouse off the side of the road that's filled with unclaimed freight. Have you ever seen that before? I've always had a hard time believing that a person could purchase something and then forget to pick it up. But it happens. And can I tell you something? So many churches are warehouses of unclaimed spiritual gifts. Those gifts were purchased by Christ on the cross, imparted by the Holy Spirit at the moment of salvation. But many Christians leave their gift unclaimed and unused. And what a tragedy that is. So let's get into the gifts of the Holy Spirit tonight. We're going to do an overview, so we won't be able to define all of the gifts, but I'll try to give you an elementary understanding, and I hope it'll whet your appetite for further study. I want you to notice in the first place this evening, the description of the gift. Look at the two words in verse 1, very simply, spiritual gifts. Now those two words actually tell us a lot. First of all, they tell us they are spiritual gifts. They are spiritual in nature. So they are not material gifts. Now use your imagination with me this evening. If I told you that at the moment of your salvation, God deposited $1 million in your bank account, and it was your job to find it, I bet that you would spend every hour you could, every resource you could, until you found that gift. Let me tell you something tonight. A spiritual gift is far superior to a material gift. You know, we get a material gift and we spend it and it will be gone. Many of our children will get material gifts here in a few weeks, and by the end of the day, they'll be tired of playing with them. But if you'll get busy serving the Lord and using your spiritual gift, you will reap the rewards of that gift for all of eternity. And so too, by the way, will the people that you minister to with the gift. So these are not material gifts. Let me tell you in the second place, they're not natural talents. Sometimes when we think of gifted people in the church, we automatically think of someone who has a talent, right? We usually think about a musician or a public speaker. Now, thank God for talented musicians who use their talents to serve the Lord. That's a great thing, isn't it? But I will tell you, music, as far as I can tell from the Bible, is not a spiritual gift. Lost people can be talented musically, can't they? Certainly they can be. As far as public speaking goes, lost people can be talented public speakers. They can be good organizers. They can even be good with their hands. So spiritual gifts are not necessarily natural talents. But let me say this. A natural talent paired with a spiritual gift can be greatly used by God. For instance, a person's singing talent can become the vehicle through which a person's spiritual gift of encouragement comes through. When someone is naturally talented to sing, they get up and sing a solo, but by their facial expressions and the spirit that is over them as they sing, the people that hear are encouraged spiritually, not just because the person hit the right notes or not just because it was a great musical performance, but because a spiritual gift was used and it ministered to the hearts of other people. Natural talents can be gifts or can be vehicles, for spiritual gifts. For instance, a man's natural speaking talent can be a vehicle through which the spiritual gift of preaching and teaching is used. And many times when a man gets up behind the pulpit and he's filled with the Spirit of God and he has the spiritual gift of exhortation, it's not just that you're impressed by his speaking talent or by his oratory, but your spirit is challenged and helped. So spiritual gifts are not material gifts. Neither are they merely natural talents. If they're not those two things, what are they? Here's a definition. A spiritual gift is a God-given ability endowed by the Holy Spirit that allows a Christian to be effective in serving through a local church. Now, that's a long definition, so I'll say it again. A spiritual gift is a God-given ability endowed by the Holy Spirit that allows a Christian to be effective in serving through a local church. God wants you to serve, and he has gifted you in ways so that you can be uniquely effective. So I notice, first of all, they are spiritual gifts, but I want you to notice in the second place, they are specific gifts. And Paul gives us a list of the gifts down in verse 8. Look at verse 8. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, divers kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of the tongues. But all these worketh that one and the same self-Spirit, dividing to every man severally, as he will. And I want you to underline those last three words of verse 11, as he will. And listen to me tonight. God is the one who chooses spiritual gifts. God's the one who imparts them. Now, the church at Corinth had a big problem with that. Remember, Corinth was the carnal church. And as you read into 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you'll realize one of the controversies they were facing in the church was that everybody wanted the flashy public upfront gifts. I mean, everybody wanted to preach the sermon. Everybody wanted to sing the solo. Nobody wanted to work in the nursery. Nobody wanted to work on a bus route. They all wanted to be upfront, and they coveted the people who had the public upfront gifts. Paul is saying here, if you're gifted to serve behind the scenes, but you want to preach, or you're gifted to preach, but you'd rather serve behind the scenes, tough cookies. God's the one who chooses the gifts. And by the way, he doesn't ask for our input or our will before he chooses them. He gives out the gifts as he will. So if God chose your gift, what right do you have to complain about it? You know, we don't get to choose what gifts we get. And let me just say tonight, there are no returns or exchanges. We don't get to choose what gifts our children will get. Often in Baptist churches, parents will pray that God wouldn't call their kids to preach or to the ministry. Let me tell you, that's the worst prayer a parent could ever pray for their child. You ought to pray that whatever they're gifted to do and whatever they're called to do, that they would be right smack dab in the middle of God's will for their life. We don't get to pick what gifts our fellow church members get. All we get to do is trust that God in his wisdom knows better what gift we need and what gift others need than we do. Now, I think this is a challenge to all of us tonight. Since God chose our gifts and they're spiritual in nature, that means that we shouldn't do in the church what we want to do. That we shouldn't really do in the church what we're comfortable doing. What we ought to do is what we're capable of doing. What we ought to do is recognize whatever spiritual gift we have and try to get the maximum out of it for God's glory. And unfortunately, many Christians are doing what they're capable of, or comfortable doing, not what they're capable of doing. You have a spiritual gift specifically and sovereignly chosen just for you, the description of the gift. All right, I want you to notice in the second place this evening, the distortion of the gifts. Look again at verse 2. Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now, in the Corinthians' former life, before they knew Christ, they were involved in paganism and idolatry and all sorts of quote-unquote spiritual expressions, all sorts of craziness done in the name of spirituality. Paul says that was your old lifestyle. Here's how you know you're really using a spiritual gift, verse 3, that spiritual gift will lead you to glorify Jesus Christ. And folks, that's the acid test of whether you're using a spiritual gift. The acid test is, does it give glory to Jesus? In John 16, Jesus told the disciples that when the Comforter came, he would do one thing primarily, he would glorify Christ. And folks, that's how you know when a real spiritual work is being done, because Christ is getting all the honor and glory for it. And Paul says, you used to do all kinds of crazy stuff in the name of idolatry and quote-unquote spirituality, but when you're really using a spiritual gift, it'll be done for the glory of Jesus. He'll be lifted up, not flesh. Now, let me say tonight, distorting the spiritual gifts is not just a first century problem. It's also a 21st century problem. And I see it in a couple of ways. First of all, let me say the modern day charismatic movement is distorting spiritual gifts. Now, as we read the list, verses 8 and 9 and 10, no doubt you noticed things like working of miracles and speaking in tongues and interpretation of tongues. And charismatics love this passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Those are commonly called sign gifts. And someday someone may ask you, does your church exercise the sign gifts? And what they mean by that is, do you speak in tongues? And do you slay people in the spirit? Do you claim to be able to heal people on demand? And we've all seen all that stuff on TBN, haven't we? Well, if someone asks you, does your church exercise the sign gifts? Say, no, we don't. Because we understand the purpose of the sign gifts. The sign gifts, folks, were temporary gifts endowed on the first century church for the purpose of establishing apostolic authority. I want to say that again. The sign gifts were temporary gifts endowed on the first century church for the purpose of establishing apostolic authority. Now, how was anyone in the first century supposed to know that the word of the apostles was authoritative? How were they supposed to know that Jesus was in fact risen from the dead? Because the apostles did not have a completed New Testament. They didn't have the Word of God. So throughout the book of Acts and throughout the first century, you'll see God validating the message of the apostles with the power of miracles. But one thing is interesting. As the book of Acts progresses and as the epistles progress, you'll see the miraculous decreasing. Why? Because the church was getting more and more and more of the New Testament. By the time John the Revelator put the last period on the end of Revelation chapter 22, the sign gifts were moved out of the way, and the written word of God became the church's highest authority. Not visions, not dreams, not prophetic revelations, not jibber-jabber that's supposed to be people speaking in tongues. No, the church's highest authority is the Word of God. And now if someone walks up to you and says, I got a word from God and here's what he said, all you have to do is open up your Bible and see if in fact God has said it. And I just want to remind you, church family, tonight that the Word of God remains our highest authority. We don't need to exercise sign gifts. We don't need to speak in jibber jabber. We don't need to slay people in the spirit, because there's no higher authority than this book. Now, in many of our Baptist churches, we may not have some of these charismatic problems, but I do think there is a particular distortion of the gifts. One problem we do have is gifted men and women often use the gifts to elevate themselves. That's a lot about what was happening here in the book of Corinth. Everybody wanted the glory. Everybody wanted to be known as a gifted, talented person. I don't know about you, but I get a little wary of hearing Christians talk about great men of God and great women of God. How about we just talk about our great God and leave the men and women out of it? Yes, thank God there are some incredibly gifted people ministering in churches today, but they would be the first to tell you in many cases that those gifts came from God, so all the glory ought to go to Him. If you're in a ministry that's more about elevating and promoting the ministry leader than it is about Jesus, you're in the wrong ministry. And if you're in a Sunday school class that's more about the teacher than it is about Jesus, you're in the wrong Sunday school class. And if this church ever becomes a place that's more about elevating pastors or preachers or musicians or staff members, then you would be in the wrong kind of church and you need to find another one. God didn't give us gifts so we could be Christian celebrities. God gave us his gifts so we could be spiritual servants. The Spirit dispenses gifts for the glory of Jesus Christ. Satan tries to distort them for the glory of man. And anywhere you see a man taking credit for the gift that God alone can give, there's been a distortion of the gift, and you had better run. And I would just say, all of us have a gift. Be careful how you use it. All right, I want us to notice in the third place the diversity of the gifts. We've looked at the description. They're spiritual. They're specific. We looked at the distortion of the gifts. Let's notice quickly tonight the diversity of the gifts. Back at verse 4. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Just mark that word, diversity. Paul is speaking here about the provision of the gifts. In his sovereignty, God has chosen to give different gifts to different members of the church. And thank God, we're all different. I mean, if we were all alike, a bunch of us would be redundant, wouldn't we? I mean, I have some gifts in areas that you may not have. And you certainly have some gifts in some areas that I don't have. And if you'll use your gifts and I'll use my gifts, then we won't have a church where people just get preached at but don't get served or encouraged. Or a church where people just get served and encouraged but they don't get preached at. A healthy church is a church where every spiritual gift is being used to its fullest potential. All of our gifts are different. They're all valued by God. Now let's talk for just a moment about the different kinds of gifts. We read through the list just a moment ago, and I'm only going to be able to give you an overview of this tonight. Depending on who you ask, there are between 15 and 20 specific spiritual gifts mentioned in the Bible. If you're taking down notes, just write down a couple of key passages. 1 Corinthians 12, our text tonight. Then write down Romans chapter 12. Write down also Ephesians chapter 4. These are the primary passages that list the spiritual gifts. Now, as I put all of those gifts together, I think I can lump them into about four categories to help us understand them tonight. The first kind of gift mentioned in the Bible is what I want to call special gifts. These are gifts used in the early days of the church. Ephesians chapter 4 talks about it. Those gifts include prophets, apostles, evangelists, and pastor teachers. And of course, some of those gifts, evangelists and pastor teachers, are still in effect today. Special gifts are to equip God's people. That's why they exist. Ephesians 4 and 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting, that word means the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So evangelists and pastor teachers are gifted by God to equip God's people to do the work of the ministry. Did you know that it's not my job to actually do all the work of the ministry? Who does the work of the ministry at Worth Baptist Church? You do. My job is to equip you from God's word so that you can do it. That's why I often say, your spiritual maturity is my highest priority. As a pastor, your spiritual maturity is my highest priority. Because if I do all the work of the ministry around here, it is a very limited work indeed. But if I can equip the 600 attenders of Worth Baptist Church to do the work of the ministry, we're going to get a lot more done for Christ, aren't we? So the special gifts are for the purpose of equipping. Then there's a second category of gifts that many have called speaking gifts. These gifts include prophecy. And we're not talking about foretelling. I don't believe that gift is in operation in this dispensation of the church, but rather a forthtelling, a prophetic preaching of God's word. Those gifts include prophecy, wisdom. Wisdom is just applying biblical principles to people's lives. Teaching, exhortation, which would just be declaring God's word. Speaking gifts explain God's truth. How many of you understand that you don't have to be a God-called pastor or a God-called evangelist to have a speaking gift? Now, thank goodness many pastors do have those gifts, but thank goodness so do many Sunday school teachers. So do many soul winners. So do many parents. And the church thrives when there are a multitude of teachers using their gifts to explain God's word in a way that people can understand it. There are people in our church who are much better at explaining God's word to children than I am. I tried it a few weeks ago and I had gotten a little rusty and stumbled out of the gate at 8:30 particularly. But thank you for the Sunday school teachers and thank God for the children's church workers and thank God for those who have a way to connect the truth of God's word with the hearts of kids. There are a lot of people in our church that have several speaking gifts and they need to use those gifts. There's another category of gifts that we'll call serving gifts. And this is where the vast majority of God's people find their place. Those gifts include things like administration, which is just organizing and leading. Helps. Now, we should all help people, but some people are supernaturally gifted to help. Another serving gift is giving. And again, we should all give. But some people have just been given the gift by God, a supernatural ability to get assets and distribute them. And it really is amazing. And we have some people like that in our church. Another serving gift would be faith, faithfulness, and discernment. Serving gifts enable God's work. They help God's work move forward. And if you have a serving gift tonight, it's because there is a need outside of a classroom or outside of an auditorium, and somebody needs to make the work of God work. And thank God for all the servants we have here around Worth Baptist Church. Because no matter how clearly I preach, if I didn't have help with the sound system or unlocking the doors or keeping up the buildings and grounds, I'd be preaching to an empty room tonight. So all of us can be involved, and many of you have been given the spiritual gift that would fit in the category of serving gifts. And then lastly is the category we call sign gifts, and we've talked about those already. Their purpose was to establish God's authority. So special gifts are given to equip God's people, speaking gifts to explain God's truth, serving gifts to enable God's work, sign gifts to establish God's authority. And if we're going to reach our full potential as Christians and as a church, we need all the gifts, not just one or two. That means every member of Worth Baptist Church is valuable. You know, I have two children, Will and Anna, and they're here tonight, and they just woke up, I think. I'm just kidding. They're paying great attention tonight. And Will and Anna have very different talents. They both have been saved, and they both have different spiritual gifts, and we're working hard to help them develop them. But let me tell you, neither Will nor Anna is disposable in my house. We need them both. And listen, in God's family, every single one of his children are critical. They're crucial. There's not one disposable Christian. And for our church to be everything God intends for it to be, every member has to use their gift. So we saw, first of all, that there are different kinds of administrations. That speaks to the purpose of the gift. That speaks to the providence of the gift. I want you to notice next, there are different kinds of administrations. Look at verse number 5. There were diversities of gift, verse 4. Now verse 5, there are differences of administrations. Now that word administration is often translated as ministry or service in other passages of Scripture. And folks, this reminds us of the purpose of God's gift. God has a purpose for your spiritual gift, and no matter what it is or what category it fits in, the purpose of it is to serve. Speaking of himself, the Lord Jesus said in Mark 10:45, "For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many." Jesus came to serve others, and he calls his spirit-filled people to do the same. So tonight, if your idea of a spiritually gifted person is somebody in a spotlight showing off, you've got it all wrong. A much better picture of a spiritual gift would be Jesus bending down and washing his disciples' dirty feet. Or a deacon in our church helping a widow put her roof back on. or four or five godly men gathering around someone who's sick and laying their hands on them and praying that God would heal them. That's what spiritual gifts are for serving. He says in verse 7, look there again. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. That word with all just means for all. So the gift is given to every believer for the profit of all. You know what that means? It means that I have not been gifted for me. It means you have not been gifted for you, that we have been gifted for each other. I like what one author said. Your spiritual gift is not for your enjoyment. It is for your employment. It is not a tool. It is not a toy. It's a tool. The truth is, when I use my gift, you're blessed. And when you use your gift, I'm blessed. We all win when we use each other's gifts. And I would just say to you tonight that God has blessed you to be a blessing to our entire church family. You need us, and we need you. And when the members bless the church can bless the community. And when the church blesses the community can bless the world. So the purpose of spiritual gifts is service. Now, I want you to notice lastly, and most practically, and you've listened so well tonight, the discovery of the gifts. Okay, we've done an overview of the gifts. We have a general understanding of what they are and what they're for, Pastor Jill. How can I figure out what my spiritual gift is? And I want you to go with me in your Bible to Romans chapter 12, if you will, and we'll look at a few verses there. And I want to give you three words I think will help you discover your spiritual gift. Here's the first word, study. Study. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, rightly dividing the word of truth. The truth is, ladies and gentlemen, that we need to know what the spiritual gifts are. We need to study passages like Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12. And if we'll know what the gifts are, then we can figure out what our gifts are. That's pretty simple. So number one, study. But number two, surrender. Romans chapter 12 is primarily about spiritual gifts. These first two verses are famous, but we don't often connect them to the gifts. I think we should. Look at verse number one. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. First, we need to study. We need to know what the gifts are. Secondly, we need to surrender. If you want to know what your spiritual gift is, you need to yield your life to the Lord, lock, stock, and barrel. Present your body to Him as a living sacrifice. I think each of us could discover our gift tonight if we would tell the Lord, Lord, no matter what gift you've given me, I've already decided that when you show it to me, I'm going to use it. Whether it's the gift I want, whether it's a gift I would have never asked for, no matter what gift it is you've given me, I yield my body to be a vessel for that gift. And I'm going to tell you, if God's people would have that kind of humble, surrendered mindset and go to the Lord and ask Him, show me what my gift is so I can use it, He will show you what that gift is. So first of all, study. Secondly, surrender. And thirdly, and most practically, serve. Look at verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Let me just say practically tonight, the best way to find your gift is to take your place in the body. Get involved serving somewhere. Test drive a ministry. See if it aligns with your gifts. If you'll just get involved and serve, you may discover that the place you serve in aligns with your gifts. You may find out it does not align with your gift. But you probably won't know that until you get off the bench, get in the game, and try to serve. When you serve in a ministry that's aligned with your gifts, you'll find a few things. First of all, you'll find enjoyment. The Bible says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasures. One of the ways that God will direct the life of a Christian who's right with God is through his desires. And when you serve the Lord in an area where you are gifted, you'll find joy doing it. Boy, I saw that in Bethlehem Inn last week. There were a lot of different jobs. Some people were working in the kitchen, and some people were doing the acting up on the stage, and some people were serving food at tables, and some people were working the hallways and the parking lots. And you know what I saw among all those different people? Joy. They were all happy to be serving the Lord. And I think one of the reasons for that is that many of those people were using their different spiritual gift in various ways, and we all work together to make something happen for God. You'll find joy. As you serve and it's aligned with your gift, you'll not only find enjoyment, you'll find encouragement. Because as you serve, other people will recognize your spiritual gift in action. And they will say to you, boy, God bless that. God used that. This is an area where you really thrive. Keep going. You'll find enjoyment. You'll find encouragement. You'll find enablement. When you get involved serving the Lord and it aligns with your gift, you'll see God use you in ways that natural gifts and talents just can't explain. Can I tell you something, folks? There have been a lot of things in life that I didn't think I was gifted to do, but I just felt God was leading me to do them. And as I stepped out by faith and did what I thought God was asking me to do, the enablement came with the faith. Many times we have to take a step of faith. Many times we're nervous and scared about some particular ministry. But if we'll just step out and do it, God will bless it and he'll enable it. And let me say lastly, as you serve, you'll find enlightenment. The Holy Spirit will use those desires. He'll use the encouragement of God's people. He'll use the enabling and the blessing on that ministry to confirm in your heart, amen.